When I was reading over the appointed scripture lessons for today, I was reading over a number of times, and actually the psalm reading stood out. And we don't typically read the psalm reading, but I was going through that, and that psalm reading spoke to me in a very special way. And I think particularly because when we just kind of consider the state our world is in these days, there's just so much unrest in the world, and not only that, there's division, there's mistrust in leadership, and ultimately it kind of boils down to the topic of trust, and then throws out the question to all of us, you know, where are we putting our hope? Where are we putting our trust? So the psalm for today is Psalm 146, and what I wanted to do is, we'll project it here, and you can follow along. I want to read that psalm for us this morning. Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. The opening line is an invitation, and that invitation is really, it's intended for all people. The word is hallelujah, means praise the Lord. And it ends the exact same way it started. The very first couple lines are the personal response of the psalmist to the invitation, where he says again, I will praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. His whole life will be devoted to praise and the acknowledgement, really, of God, and calling forth who God is and what he is like and what he has done. So the focus is God, who he is, what he has and can and will do. And so because of that, and that's important, because of who God is, he says as a reminder in verse 3, do not put your trust in princes. And I guess the it comes down to this. Isn't it interesting that over and over and over in Scripture we have to be reminded to not to put our trust and our ultimate trust there? You know, it's almost like, do you need to be reminded of our fact that our leaders, that those princes, those kings, those presidents, whoever they are, that they're sinful human beings? Do we need to be reminded of that? They're human beings. But you know what? We are too. We are too. Do we put our trust in earthly rulers? Yeah, at times. But then also at other times, maybe more than we should. And it's not saying don't trust. What it is saying, though, is to examine the level of trust, the level of hope that we put in earthly rulers. See, the problem then is where that leads. If you put too much hope, too much confidence there. As we all know, earthly rulers make promises, particularly when they're in campaign mode. Some promises are kept, and they keep their word and they're faithful to that, but sometimes they're not kept. Some turn out to be false or empty promises that lead nowhere. But here's the thing, even with the best of intentions, if someone's heart's totally dialed in and just wants to do the best in privilege for that honor that they have of holding that position, and even though all those things can happen, things can still happen, and they're not perfect people. And the influential and powerful of this world, even the best of them, cannot be our ultimate source of confidence. God says, hey, we got to come above and let's get a higher view of this thing, a higher perspective. In Psalm 33, it says, no king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all of its strength, it cannot save. Isaiah writes, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in the multitude of their chariots and in the great strength of their horsemen, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or to seek help from the Lord. Jeremiah says, this is what the Lord says, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. And I think that's where it goes. It's when all of a sudden we put our trust and hope in just the people just because that's what we do. But if it goes to the point where we're drawing strength from that, and that's where we're putting it all there, and that's our heart literally is away from God because this person is going to solve the problems, that's where the problem comes. And here's the deal. The world as we know it is becoming more and more secular all the time. Demographically, it's becoming more secular. And so you think about this, if God is removed or seen as not being necessary, where does that leave you when you look at the world and its issues and problems? If God is out of the equation, where does that leave you? Our only hope can be in people. And in their policies, and in their promises, and what they can do. And all of a sudden, if that's where all of our ultimate hope and trust is put, because that's all we have, no wonder we have so much tension and division, especially if other people are seen as standing in the way of their agenda. We see it happening more and more. All you need to do is just turn on the national news. I don't care what story is being covered. It seems like everything these days has to have an editorial comment connected to it or some particular slant. Even the weather, they can't even report the weather anymore without having political commentary or comments about why the weather is the way it is. And I think it, if you think about it, that's the reason why. Everything has to do now with it's up to us. And it's creating a very shaky situation. But you see, the plans and promises of earthly rulers eventually, in some form or another, fall short or they even fail. And when the rulers die, as the psalmist says here, their lofty goal dies with them. It says in verse 4, when their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. See, God tells us why we should not put our ultimate hope and trust in people. Why? He says, because they cannot save. In them, there is no salvation. They can help. They can do things for us in certain, maybe, political ways or physical ways, but they can't save. You see, this psalm contrasts the help of earthly rulers who are short-lived and ultimately, you know, not ultimately dependable, with the help of the Lord who is trustworthy and eternal. So regarding earthly rulers or princes, what are we to do? Well, like I said at the beginning, this is not just saying they're all, you know, worthless and why do we even have them and they're all bad. That is not at all what this is saying. God takes that very seriously, people who are called to places of authority and influence in the world. What are we called by God to do as citizens? We're called to respect authority. We're called to obey authority. Unless, of course, that authority figure kind of is causing or forcing you to sin against God. We are to give earthly princes the respect that we owe them. We are told to pray for them, that God would, in a sense, lead them to rule with justice and wisdom for the good of the people in their care. I think if we were all honest, every one of us, and we just think, all right, let's go back just, we'll just say the last 3 years. Have we truly prayed for the people that are elected officials, whether they're at the national level, the state level, or the local level? Do we pray for them and ask God to work really truly in their hearts in and through them because of the position that they hold? Or do we tend to find more opportunities just to run people in authority down or criticize? God says, I want you to pray for people who are in leadership. But our ultimate trust now and for eternity is not placed again in earthly princes, but in the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Well, as the Apostle Peter says, there's salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Because ultimately, who can save us? But blessed, as he says in verse 5, blessed is the person whose help and hope is the God of Jacob and the Lord his God. It says in Deuteronomy 32, he is the rock. His words are perfect and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. Again, we all struggle with false gods. And when our false gods fail us and let us down, things happen in our lives. Maybe we feel anxious because some sense of security is lost. Or we're frustrated or empty because certain goals or accomplishments are not reached or fulfilled in the way we sought them for meaning. Or we feel despair when things have not changed and the world seems like it's getting worse and we can start losing hope. We experience alienation when people have let us down or we're cut off or feel lonely or isolated. Or we feel guilty when we have failed to live up to our own expectations for ourselves. Things that we put too much hope and trust in will fail us. And it affects us. And as these kind of things start coming out and God-sized questions we may have or behaviors that begin to show, it's coming out. Maybe we've recognized some of these things. Maybe we see it in other people. That's where that statement comes in the Old Testament lesson, Isaiah. Say to those with fearful hearts, because there's a lot of people who just get fearful hearts. And there's a lot of fearful hearts today. And today, where do they come from? Network and cable news addicts. Not being funny necessarily, but you show me someone who watches like 9 hours of news a day, and I'll show you someone with a fearful heart. Right? Just because. Regardless of the slant that you prefer, because there's slant in all of it, it just creates tension because we're back to this thing is, where's the hope coming from? Where's the help coming from? Not against the news. I love watching the news. But here, see, the main focus of this psalm is on the protecting power of the Lord and what he can do. Because he's the one that raises the lowly. and frees the prisoner and gives sight to the blind. And you know what? In some earthly type of way, in some physical type of way, yes, the leaders of our world can do that. They can provide for the physical needs of people. They can provide for people and protect people and give things that people need. Jesus did the very thing too, physically for people, through the miracles that he did. But you see, the greatest gifts are not physical food or physical healing and political freedom, but spiritual food that gives eternal life. Healing that frees us from sin and death and freedom which will endure forever. Because God's words, his promises, assure us real forgiveness for our thoughts, words, and deeds that are askew. Freedom from guilt and shame. Sight to know God's will and ways in life. All of which are provided by Christ. And these blessings the Lord provided for his people through the Messianic King, whom he sent to them. See, only the plans of God last into eternity. God's promise to send a Savior was first heard in the Garden of Eden after the fall into sin. And down through the centuries, his promise endured and his plans never failed. And the promise was fulfilled when Christ came and lived among us, so he could die for our sins and rise in triumph over death. See, for these blessings we praise the Lord now and forever. So it is a call to praise the Lord. Again, when we understand, even in the midst of the world in which we live, even in the midst of the circumstances, we know ultimately a different dimension to the story. It's a call to praise the Lord that flows from our lips when our trust is ultimately in him. That's how we can do it. So, you look up to the one who is more. The one who is more. And the one who offers and gives what we need most. And in that way, regardless, we can praise the Lord. So now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.